The Bible said that this man was blind from his birth. He had never known sight before in his entire life. And he never will again until he met the Lord Jesus Christ. Because to be born blind is a plague that is permanent. And Jesus Christ deliberately used this event in the life of this man and through the words of the disciples to teach us all a very important lesson, that we are all born blind, just like this man. It is not that we had sight before and then we became blind, but we are born blind. And the disciples ask him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" They said that it must be the fault of someone that we are born blind, that he was born blind. Is it a fault of someone that we are blind? Jesus said, "No, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." This man standing before the Lord Jesus Christ and in the midst of the disciples were born blind by God for a particular purpose, that God's works may be shown through the life of this man who was born blind. The work of God, the Bible said here, the works of God should be made plain and clear in the life of this man. The works of God can be made plain and clear. You and I are born blind, spiritually blind, a blindness that is worse than physical blindness. Because if a person is physically blind and he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, he will find himself in heaven. We have in our hymnal a lady who became blind since she was very young. And she said that the first person she wants to see when she can see again would be the face of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Physical blindness will not condemn you and me to hell, but spiritual blindness will. And in this particular account, from verse 1 to verse 41 of this entire chapter, you're going to find this man who was physically blind versus the men who were spiritual leaders who were not physically blind but were spiritually blind. And they were the ones who will end up in the depths of hell unless they admit that they are blind spiritually. Because as long as you do not admit that you are born blind, you will not want to find a solution to your blindness. This man was physically blind. He was born blind. He had never seen before. And as he grew older and older, as he became a man, he realized now he was a man. Because when they confronted the mother, they frightened her. Because these people hated Christ. The people warned anyone who supported this Jesus of Nazareth will be severely dealt with and punished. And that's why when they asked the mother said, "Well, my son, he is old enough. Why don't you ask him? He's the one who experienced the miracle. You go and ask him." These people who were dead in sin, who were spiritually blind, were very powerful, and they refused to admit that they were spiritually blind. They thought they had sight. And that is why this particular account that will help us understand when Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," you have to begin this journey of accepting Jesus Christ as the light of the world by admitting that you are spiritually blind, that you are born blind. We are not born good. The world is not the one that makes you to become what you are. You and I know that we are spiritually dead in sin. Because as long as you have sinned, and you and I know that we have sinned as adults, we all have the lust of the flesh. You look at a woman and lust after her in your heart, you have committed adultery. That alone is enough to find us guilty that we are all spiritually blind. And if you are not honest with yourself and make this admission, then there is not going to be any solution to help you heal your blindness, because you're not going to go and find a solution. Because you're not blind, you think you see. And that's why the journey to understand that Jesus Christ is the light of the world begins from this and this position only. No other position. You have to admit that you are spiritually blind. That all your good works are useless. Because you are dead in sin. And as sinners, our hands are stained and covered by sin. And you and I know what dirty hands are. They said, that is, the day refers to WHO, giving the world a warning. A global warning concerning the Ebola virus. 90% of the people who are stricken with this virus will die. And the world is helpless and they are frightened and they are scared. And because of air travel, and we travel all over the world, that virus can spread globally anytime. And once it hits a country, the precautions that we have to take will be far worse, perhaps, than SARS. One of the things that we are told to do right now is to wash our hands with water alone is not enough. You have to wash your hands with some kind of soap to make sure that you are properly washed, clean, because it will spread. Not only will you get it, your loved ones will get it too by simple contact and touch. That's how deadly it is. And once you're stricken with it, you're going to die a very lonely death. The doctors themselves are frightened and nervous because doctors who treated these patients, they also get afflicted and they died. That is exactly what sin has done to us. In the spiritual sense, your hands have been stained. Whatever your hands touch, what can you do? What can you use to wash away the sin that is in our hands? Oh, you can use soap to wash away the Ebola virus. But what can you use that is on this earth that can wash away sin? Because sin is not a virus. Sin is a deadly, deadly transgression. There's nothing on this earth that can wash this away other than the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing. And that's why everything that you touch, every deed that you do with your hands, they are stained by sin. There is no good deeds that can be good enough to heal your blindness. Nothing. That is like this man who was born physically blind. When you are born without any eyes, how to get better when your nerves that help you see are all dead? How to see again? Nothing can help you see. He was condemned and he accepted his fate, his condemnation. And so the disciples came and make this remark when they look at him, because that was the common notion in those days. It must be somebody's fault. Yes, it is somebody's fault that you and I are born blind, spiritually blind, first Adam. You are right. But because you are in this sanctuary, you are given the gospel just like this man is now presented before the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there is a solution. Blaming, finding fault is no use. A man lost his wallet. Pickpocketed. Then he comes to you. He is a stranger to your country. Your friend. He lost his credit card. He lost all his money in the wallet. And then you ask him, what did you lose? And then he started to list out everything, how many coins and how much. And then you say this to him, wow, you should feel good because you know exactly how much you lost. You should be very happy. You know exactly how much you lost to the very cent. Is that what he wants you to, is that what he wants to hear from you? To pat him on the back and say, wow, very good, well done. He wants you to tell him, how do I get my wallet back? What should I do to fix the problem? Not to pat me on the back when I describe my problem to you in detail. This blind man. You tell him, yes, it is your fault, your father's fault, whatever it is, right? You tell me where the fault is found, but that does not help me see again. In this case, Jesus said, it is not his fault, it is not anybody's fault. Why? Why? It is somebody's fault that you and I are spiritually blind. Adam. Because Adam sinned against God. But because Jesus Christ is there, there is a solution. You don't have to remain in the state of blindness. That's why blaming somebody, finding fault, blaming Adam is of no consequence. You may know the truth. Yet it is because of our first parent, Adam and Eve. When they were created by God, they were perfect. God put them in the garden. God gave them a very simple test that they understood very well. Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Plain and simple, don't. If you do, you will surely die. He ate. He died. And from that point onwards, every son, every daughter, every man, every human being born of human father, human mother are born sinners. Spiritually dead. Immediately spiritually blind. All of us. No exception. Evidence, death. That's what God says. Because we sin, therefore we die. How do we know we are born sinners? Do babies die? Yes, babies die. Therefore, they are born sinners, even though they have not done anything. Same for babies inside the mother's womb. They die inside the mother's womb. Therefore, even inside the mother's womb, they are also sinners because they die. Now, knowing this truth will not help you see, will not make you alive again, just like the man who lost his entire wallet, knowing exactly how much he lost, will not help him find the wallet. So now that you and I know that it is Adam's fault, but because of Jesus Christ, you are now standing before the Lord Jesus Christ through His scriptures. Just like this man, Jesus said, the works of God should be made manifest in him, just as the works of God can be made manifest in you. That's why you are here. If you are not a believer, that's why you are here, not by chance. By God's appointment, you do not need to remain in the state of spiritual blindness. The sin is from the first Adam and your own sin as an adult. These are all part and parcel of reality. Because of transgression, we are spiritually blind and therefore we know when we die, we will end up in hell. That's what the Bible reveals to us. And this is what you need to know. But you do not need to remain in this state of blindness. Because Jesus had come. The Bible says, Jesus has come to show us the work of God as well as His own works. That's what you can see in verse 4. I must work the works of Him that sent me. And so Jesus says, I am sent by the Lord to do the works of God, my Heavenly Father, who sent me. While it is still day, the night comes when no man can work. And so while this is still time, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I must do my Heavenly Father's work. That's what I'm here for. And what was the work that God the Father sent Jesus Christ to do? Why was Jesus Christ, who is fully man, not a sinner? You may ask that question. And the reason why Jesus Christ, who is fully man, he is not born a sinner like all of us, was because he did not have a human father. He had a human mother, and because of the human mother, he was fully human when he was born on this earth. The Holy Spirit came upon Virgin Mary. The Virgin Mary knew no man. She did not know any man all the days of her pregnancy until Jesus Christ was born. Jesus Christ had half-brothers. That much the Bible revealed to us. She was not a perpetual virgin, as some would like to portray her. She remained a virgin from the time of conception, with child inside her womb, all the 9 months until Jesus Christ was born. She remained a virgin. Jesus Christ was not contaminated by the seed of man. And that's why even though Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary, fully man, but because he was conceived by the power of the Spirit of God, he was also fully God. How was that done? Don't know. The Bible said so. That's all. We just said so. Because the Bible says it, we say it. And that's why Jesus Christ came to become a man to do the works of God the Father, who sent him to do one thing. And that was to become a man to die for man. How did he die for man, whereby he can save man from sin? He had to obey all the laws of God on your behalf and on my behalf, which he did when he lived and walked on this earth. And he did so perfectly, without breaking any of God's commandment, whether in the mind or in the heart or in action. He followed. That's what he came to do, so that you and I may know God's works. He came to show us God's work, to make it plain and clear. And by his own life, by the works of Christ, we can see the works of God, because Jesus says, those who have seen me have seen the Father. That's what Jesus says. And he obeyed all the works of God, all the laws of God on your behalf and on my behalf. And then, because sin has to be punished. Sin has to be punished by death, because God said so, not Satan. God said that to Adam. If you sin, you will die. And he died for you and for me. Being a perfect man, he bore the penalty and the punishment, your death, my death. He bore it on his body. He took it all. And he did not fight when the people came to arrest him. He had the power of God at his disposal. When they asked him, "Are you Jesus of Nazareth?" he says, "I am." And they all went backwards and they fell to the ground. That's how powerful Jesus will always be, even when he was on earth. He was in control of every second and every minute of his persecution and his crucifixion, till the moment when he uttered those words, "It is finished." And then he breathed his last breath. He gave up the ghost, the Bible says, and then the Lord brought him to heaven. Jesus Christ came to do the Father's works. And when you study his life and you study the Gospels, you will see the works of the Father in the works of the Son. And that work is to work for your salvation, so that you and I do not need to be in this blind state, because we are all born blind. And the worst part is we do not know that we are blind until somebody tells us. And tonight we are telling you. We are telling you. Because a person who is born blind will not know until somebody tells him. And I hope that you will hear and you will listen. Because this blind man, he heard and he listened. Even though the miracle was done, the Pharisees, the evil men of Jesus' times, they refused to accept. They refused to accept that Jesus Christ could be the light of the world. Because they refused to accept that they were blind. They thought they had light. The world has no light to shine. The world is in darkness and in sin. How can they give light? You turn away Jesus Christ. You turn away the only one who can save you from the depths of hell and your sin. That continues to bind you, continues to keep you in blindness. That you can't see. And you think that you are living when actually you are dying. You are not living in the accumulation of the things of this earth because of your heart's desire. "I fulfill my heart's desire by getting whatever my heart wants." That is not living. Because at the end of your life, do you really keep what you have gotten? Not one bit, not one thread of all the garments you bought with thousands of dollars will you bring with you. Naked you came into this world, naked you will leave, because you will die in your sin and you will end up in hell. And nothing on this earth can give you any comfort when you are in hell. That's why no point bringing them with you, because you can't anyway. And even if you could, they're not going to give you any comfort because of the fiery hell that you are going to be found in because of sin. Sin is so heinous to God that you don't just die and disappear into nothingness. The penalty and the punishment is going to be eternal. Because our transgression is not a sin against man. It is against man, but more so, more importantly, against God as well. That is why God had to send Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. And Jesus Christ, who is God also, willingly came down to this earth to die for you and for me. If sin is not so heinous and so bad, why would God send Jesus Christ to die a most shameful, painful death on the cross? The magnitude of the sin that you and I commit is so heinous and so grievous that only the blood of the Son of God and the Son of Man can wash them away. That's the only way to wash our hands away of sin. Nothing else could except the precious, priceless blood of Jesus Christ. That's how deadly sin is. And as long as you do not recognize it, you think you are seeing, you do not want to admit that, may God be merciful. May God really be merciful. Because Christ has shown us that we are spiritually blind because of the sin that you and I know we have committed in our hearts. And I hope that you will admit this, because once you admit this, that's the beginning of the journey of sight. Just like this man. The beginning of the journey of his sight was to meet and see Jesus Christ. And so when Jesus says, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Why did Jesus have to add the first few words? As long as I'm in the world. It's as if Jesus is telling us, if I am no longer in the world, I will no longer be the light of the world. When will Jesus Christ no longer be in the world? Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, he will remain on earth for 40 days. But during the 40 days when he was in the glorified body, he did not appear to sinners who were not born again. He appeared only to sinners who were born again, his disciples. And he spent time with them to encourage them. He restored Peter back into the ministry, John chapter 21. He did a lot of good things to comfort and encourage the disciples. And then after 40 days, he ascended up to heaven, and the Bible tells us now he's seated at God's right hand, interceding for us, praying for his children. All of us. The children of the Heavenly Father. And so does that mean that Jesus Christ is no longer in the world? Because he cannot be the Savior of the world, he is no longer in the world. And he is seated at God's right hand, so therefore he is no longer in the world, and therefore Jesus Christ cannot be our Savior anymore. Is that the correct understanding of this verse? As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Thank God that Jesus Christ is still in the world. How is Jesus Christ still in the world? Verse 6, verse 7 gives us the answer. When he had thus spoken, Jesus spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Why did he do it this way? Why can't he just simply say and declare, have sight and he will see? He deliberately used clay and spittle, which to the Jews are very unclean. You people who are so stuck up, so self-righteous in your sight, or your alleged sight, you think you know better. You humble yourself before God, and this man did. He humbled himself before God for Jesus Christ to use mud made from his own spittle to lay on his eyes. But when you are spiritually, when you are physically blind, you are desperate, it does not matter, isn't it? You still want to care about your face and your pride? When he has been born blind, and now if this is the way that I can see again, you think he bothers about the spittle of Christ made from the sand, the clay? And then he anointed the eyes of this blind man, and then he said to him, now you go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Siloam in Hebrew means sent. And then he went his way, and therefore he washed, and then he came back seeing. You just imagine the kind of joy and delight that must be found in the sight, in the life, in the heart of this man to be able to see again. To see for the first time. Born blind, remember? The delight and the joy that must confront him where now he can see and look at the sky, the heavens, the trees, the birds, everything that once upon a time had been completely, total, pitch black. And now suddenly he can see color. He can see everything that once upon a time the people can only tell him in a very pitiful way. I wish you could see, I wish you could see, I wish you could see. And now he saw. The delight and the joy that fills him, it's unimaginable unless you experience it yourself. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world to show the world God's works. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world to show you my works, because by showing you my works, you see the works of Christ. And thirdly, Jesus says, I'm the light of the world to show you Christ's works in Christians. In Christians. That's why Jesus says in Matthew 5, after you are born again, now you are the light of the world. We are the lesser light, the lower lights. That's why Jesus Christ is still on the earth through you and through me. After you are born again, if you truly have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, truly, you may not know how it works. Just like this blind man, when he was confronted by the enemies of Christ. You look at verse 23, 22. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, that is Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah, he should be put out of the synagogue. That is as good as being killed. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, you ask him. Now you watch his testimony. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner, referring to Jesus Christ. And then he answered and said, whether he, that is Jesus, be a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know, whereas I was blind, now I see. I don't know how he did it, but I know that once upon a time I was born blind, but now I am able to see. That much I know. How it was done, I don't know, and I don't bother how it was done. I just know that I'm seeing. You want him to explain to you scientifically how these nerves were made new again, and how if he had no eyeballs and how the eyeballs... He doesn't know, he doesn't care, he just want to know and want to tell all of us, I now see. That's all I know. That's all I know. And that's all that is enough. Jesus Christ is still the light of the world through the life of every genuinely born again believer. That's how Jesus Christ will continue to be the light of the world, because if Jesus Christ is no longer on earth, he cannot be the light of the world. That means the world will remain in a state of spiritual blindness, death, and hell awaits all of us. But thank God that he allowed us to remain behind, to continue on, to do the work of Christ, and to let the world see what it means to be the light of the world. For Jesus Christ as the lower lights, as his witnesses. That's what you and I are to be. And I hope you realize and understand this. That is why you cannot hold on to sin. You cannot allow any painful, unsettled, broken relationship to remain, because you cannot be a light when your life is in a mess. You are not like a light where you put a bushel to cover it, because your sin will be the bushel to cover it. When you remain in sin and you do not want to fix any painful, sinful relationship that you have in your life, you cannot hold on to sin, because you, that sin will be the bushel that you cover up. How can that ever be? God wants you to show the world that Jesus Christ is still the light of the world, because you and I were once upon blind, but now we see. Isn't that true? Do you have spiritual sight? Do you see the world with new eyes like this man who was born blind? He looked at this world. To him, it's like a brand new world. Do you see the world as a brand new world to you, because you have changed? The world has not changed. Just like the world has not changed, the world is still the world. The blind man has changed. Same for us who are born again, who are delivered from spiritual blindness. And if you remain in your arrogance, you refuse to admit that you are spiritually blind like these enemies of Christ. Verse 28, they reviled this disciple. And then they said, thou art his disciple, we are Moses' disciples. See, that's the problem. They thought that they have light, when they only have darkness, very deep darkness. Now you look at what this blind man can say. Verse 29. He didn't go to any theological school. He was just simply given light, born again. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. And the man answered and said unto them, why hearing is a marvelous thing. That is his own testimony, the miracle. That ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened my eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. You want to reject this Jesus Christ, whatever it is, my testimony, my evidence is simply this. I know that God will not work through a sinner. What He has done in my life is real. I was born blind, but now I can see. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that were born blind? Never. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And therefore, conclusion, he is definitely of God. And then the Pharisees, the enemies of Christ, they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sin. Dost thou teach us? You want to teach us? I hope this is not what you're going to say. When you hear the words of God, I hope you will humble yourself and admit and acknowledge that you and I are born in sin. And that only Jesus Christ, His precious blood, can wash away your sin because it has washed away our sins. And I hope that He will wash away your sins too, because He is the only one who can. He is the light of the world. You are in spiritual darkness. And the thrill and the joy, like this blind man who was born blind but now he can see, will be yours to experience if you will walk in the same journey and pathway as this blind man. You have to admit that you are born blind and you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior from the bottom of your heart, unconditionally surrendering your life to the Lord. And cry to Him, cry to God the Father and ask Him through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior. Help me, forgive me of all my sins. I know I deserve hell and death. Be merciful, O God, and save me to the uttermost through the blood of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my life, save me, wash me, and make me whole. Help me to see. Would you do that? Would you do that you may have sight? Because that's exactly what happened to this blind man. Look at his testimony when Jesus asked him in verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? You may not know much at this juncture. But the more you come to church, the more you study the Bible, the more you will know. And whatever you learn and study in the Bible, you will be like this blind man who will just simply accept in the affirmative. And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him, you see. He did not know all the facts and all the details, but he already believed. You may not need to know everything about the scriptures, everything, you can't. It's beyond our human comprehension. But what you need to know is sufficient to save you, to help you see, just as what the blind man who was born blind, what he had been given by the Lord Jesus Christ was enough to help him see that Jesus Christ came into this world to die for you, to do the works of God. And His works must continue in the lives of the Christians, because as long as Jesus Christ is in the world through you and through me, He will remain and continue to be the light of the world. Let them see the light of Christ in your life. Alternatively, Jesus said, verse 39, for judgment I am come into this world, that they might see not, that they which see might see not, might see, and that they which see might be made blind. You see this? Those who admit that they are blind, they will be given sight. Those who admit that they see, they don't need the Savior, they are not blind, they will remain blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remains. Two responses. The response of the blind man, humility. Allow the clay with the spittle of Jesus Christ to touch him and to heal him. He didn't care about his pride anymore. When you are desperate, when you want to see, you stop thinking about your face. You stop thinking about what people will think. You just want to see. You have to admit that you are dead in sin. That is the spiritual blindness that we are all born in. And only Jesus Christ's precious blood can help you see, can take away the sin and the stain of sin, which is death and hell, from your life and from my life. And brothers and sisters in Christ, if you are truly born again, please don't live in sin. Please live a life of holiness, that the light of Jesus Christ may continue to shine brightly, because He is still the light of the world. And as long as He is in the world, as long as you and I are still on this earth, He will be the light of the world. And one day, the light of the world, which is Jesus Christ, will no longer be on the world, in the world. You know that, right? We call it the rapture, or the Bible call it the rapture. And the Lord take all of us home. That very moment, the light of the world that is Jesus Christ is no more. Isn't that true? Until he sent the two witnesses. One of them is Elijah. And then they will continue to witness the light of the world will always be Jesus Christ. Will you continue to be the light of the world for Jesus' sake by living a holy life? That whatever transgression, whatever broken relationship you have, fix it. Swallow your pride because of Jesus Christ, for his sake. Make right any painful, wrong relationship. All you need to do is to take the step toward that person and just say, I am sorry. Forgive me. That's it, plain and simple. Genuinely, sincerely, with all your heart. Don't have to make justification or make excuses. Just say, I am sorry. That's it, that you have been hurt by me. And I want our relationship to man to be reconciled for the sake of Christ. Can we? That the light of Jesus Christ may continue to shine, because the world is still perishing in sin. And the world that is born in darkness and spiritual darkness and sin, they don't realize it, they don't know it, like this man until he grew up. They need someone to tell them. Otherwise, they're going to remain in spiritual blindness and they're going to die in their sin and they're going to end up in hell. You want to hold on to your pride and see them end up in hell? Is that really what you want? Is your pride really that important to you that it is worth a soul spending eternity in the lake of fire that burns without end, simply because you want to hold on to your pride? Is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ so meaningless to you, so cheap to you, that it is more important than your pride and your faith that you hold on to it? That the blood of Jesus Christ is not enough to break away your pride and to touch your heart and to move you to compassion, that you will go to someone and admit, I am sorry. Is that too much to ask for the sake of Christ? I don't think so. Not if you are truly born again as sons and daughters of the Most High God, because Jesus Christ is indeed still the light of this world. How? Through your life and my life as his children. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to, O Lord, two kinds of hearts. The hearts of sinners who are still outside Christ. May thou be ever gracious and merciful to touch them and help them, O Lord, like this blind man, to admit their spiritual blindness, that they may turn to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in order that they might have sight. Help them, O Lord, that they will not react and respond like the Pharisees in their own sin and transgression and remain in darkness. To the other group, O Lord, who are your children, help us to live a life of holiness, that if there be anyone whom we have hurt, and because of pride we have not mended our relationship, may thou forgive us. May thou, through the blood of our Savior, grant to us the mind of Christ and the heart of flesh, that we may fix any relationship that is personal, that is because of our own doing. And help us, O Lord, truly be the light of the world, for the world continue to need and see the light of Christ in the lives of all of your children. For truly, he is still the only Savior of the world that can save to the uttermost. May we not fail thee, O Lord, before the Lord Jesus Christ returns, or when he will take us all home to be with himself. And then the light of the world will no longer be found on this earth. O Lord, while it is still day, before the night comes, may we continue to do the works of our fathers, just as Jesus did. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.